Ale.
Sí, señor.
Hey, bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB podcast. I'm Jorge Georgi Martin and Ricky and Hector Primos. How we doing?
What's up? Doing well, man. Thank you. Doing well.
Gracias, everybody, for joining us. Es un placer. Es como siempre, estamos a sus órdenes. This is kind of like a happy day. You know, sports are returning. This is going to come out on Thursday, the beginning of baseball. So All of us are big baseball fans, Dodger fans. It's great. It makes it feel that the NFL is closer. So, it's good. But
opening day,
like,
man.
It's on pace, you know, like
end of July.
All these other
day.
Things are happening, but it just means football's coming.
Time begins on opening day, and it really is such a necessary thing. I'm going to be part, even though I hate the Yankees, I'm going to be watching that game, and then of course the Giants and the Dodgers in the evening. It's all
it's gonna be a Dodger Yankee win tomorrow.
hopefully. Well, speaking of traditions, you know, in Mexican culture, we have some superstitions, we have curanderos, brujerías, you know. These things have followed our familia across generations.
All familias. You know, some or all of these.
A lot of these, and some of these will come up, but gosh, I mean, they're crazy looking back. Some of them worked, even though you kind of like scratch your head. I mean, Ricky's a nurse, and I'm sure he scratched his head and be like, how the hell does that happen? But I know one time my mom, I was like 16 or 17 years old. She thought lemons cured everything. And I had a bad cut on my hand from my first job at In-N-Out. I got a little slice on my knuckle. And they sent me home, and I came home, and I'm at the sink because the thing was still bleeding. And my mom goes, okay, I'll be right back. She comes back, and I didn't even see, just like out of the corner of my eye, I see that she's got something in her hand. Half a lemon, she just squeezes it, right on top of the cut. Oh my God, ay mijo, it was just, ugh. Dios mio, it just hurt. It was pain.
Wow.
Did it even feel like it worked?
I could, you know what? It zinged. I mean, I ended up going to the ER, and they put hydrogen peroxide on it and did a wrap on it, and it was fine. So I don't even know. But here's one time where something curiously worked. My brother Caio and I both got pink eye a few days apart, and I went to the doctor, got some drops. Caio didn't. My mom just said, here, we're going to do this. And she emptied a lemon into his eye. And it was just like the crazy thing. Ese muchacho, he got better first.
Yeah, he got better first because his dirty ass gave it to you.
well, he did give it to me. He was the one who gave it to me. Man, boys, let's share.
There's one because you say about it working. One that I was surprised that worked was I remember my leg falling asleep and trying to walk. You know, I'm limping, and my dad's like, oh, just lick your finger and do the sign of the cross. Your abuelita and your tías do it. It works all the time. And I was like, whatever, I'll try it for the heck of it. Sure enough, I put it on my foot and I can walk again. You're just scared forever. But me being the scientist I am, I'm like, why is this working? I couldn't figure it out. So it came to the point to where now all I do is I put water on my hand, I rub my leg, and boom, my leg's awake. But hey, that Mexican tradition taught me something.
Hey, I'll go back to the lemon. As far as in my family, lemon was everywhere. I mean, whenever I would catch a cold, catch the flu, whatever it was, the first thing my mom would give me would be Listerine, because this concoction, Listerine, lemon and salt, and you would warm it up in the microwave, and it was. And we're not talking about like minty Listerine that's actually like kind of flavorful and at least tolerable. We're talking about that OG like yellow urine color Listerine that's just like tastes like it just tastes like medicine.
Put it in the microwave
like bad medicine. Yeah, bad medicine yellow Listerine in a cup.
Made it a flavorless one.
Yeah, it's lemon and salt in microwave, and then you gargle. I would gargle with that. And then after the gargle, she would make tea with honey and lemon. Again, more lemon.
Yerba buena.
this it was like tea that it was like tea that manzanilla flor, I think. So that's what it was. That was tea, honey and lemon in the tea, lemon and salt with the Listerine. And it was just like, and so that was just like cold symptoms. And then if I ever had a high fever, we're talking about like the OG, like old school, like 1800s Mexico, like slice up a potato and you mix it and you soak it in sugarcane alcohol, which is like, I don't know if you can still find that stuff around. Sugarcane alcohol was like Everclear. It's like 100 and whatever something proof, like crazy, like super strong. And she would like soak these like ripped up t-shirt, because you know every Mexican family have ripped up t-shirt laying around, right? ripped up t-shirt, and you wrap the potatoes and then you soak them in the sugarcane alcohol, and then one it's like Daniel's son with like the bandana with the potatoes and the alcohol around the forehead, another one around the waist, potatoes again. And you just sit there and wait till the fever breaks. And that, I mean, me, my brothers, my sister, like we all got that treatment, like the potatoes and the alcohol. I have no idea if there's any basis in it. I mean, the fever is eventually going to break. You know, when you're a kid and you have fever, it breaks eventually. But we all got that, the potatoes and the alcohol.
Oh, well, how about the other one that was the tried and true? Vicks VapoRub.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Mijo, that stuff. I remember it would be like you got a cold, and mom would be like, okay, well, you can't take a bath. Do not take a bath. Cold or fever, and or fever. No, don't take a bath.
Can't take but a then bath. It's
put
yep.
put Vicks VapoRub on your chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then rubbing alcohol on the feet. I never understood the rubbing alcohol on the feet. Right. And then you put socks on, and then they would have that like humidifier that would have the Vicks Vapor, so the whole room smelled like that.
Yes, yes. And then you had the vaporizer. Of course, you had the vaporizer going. And that was always there. And then we talk about also that chemical nastiness that has been, I think, outlawed in every country on the planet. Mertiolate.
Oh.
Mirthiolate, which came in a small like little brown bottle, and it had like a little glass stick in it, which it wasn't a dropper, it was just like a glass stick at the end of the cap, and you would like it was like this ugly orange staining color, and you know if you're a kid and you scrape your knee, scrape your elbow on a skateboard or on your bike, that was the death knell. What you knew, you had to go to your mom and say, I got a cut. And she went to the medicine cabinet and got the mertiolate out, and you started crying before she even put it on.
Oh.
Because you knew that it was the sting of death, the sting of hell. Just like burned. It was like pouring acid on your cut. Is what, when you're a kid, it's what you envisioned that would feel like. It was just the worst pain, and it left a giant orange stain on your skin. And, you know, I think it's outlawed. There was another one called Mercurochrome that had mercury in it. Like, yeah, we were like guinea pigs when we were kids, man. Like all these medicines that they used to use on us when we were little with cuts and scrapes, man. They're not even legal anymore.
I remember my 99-year-old grandma, mi abuelita, I found a little bottle of alcohol with marijuana leaves in it.
Yeah.
And I guess that's popular.
And yes,
they use it on their knees or for arthritis, stuff like that.
That's OG CBD oil right there. That's OG CBD, yep. Man.
Yeah,
that's
like, pretty much.
20 years
it's
ago.
It's like every abuelita used that stuff.
Yeah, didn't that abuelita on Carl Street over there in Pacoima, Georgia, didn't she grow some interesting looking plants in the backyard there?
Yes, she did. That was the yerba buena.
Ah. That
was sometime the tea. My mom says it wasn't, but I'm like, no, mom, that was weird stuff.
Like, mom,
there was some weird stuff going on there.
Yeah, give it to the kids,
I got to tell you, one of the things that was the weirdest thing that I still don't understand. I actually talked to my mom about this one a few days ago. Jalando el pellejo. So this would be like if you're having tummy trouble, like if you haven't gone to the bathroom and stuff's going, you know, stuff's not moving around.
Yeah, the pipes are clogged.
Yep. All of a sudden it's like mom would be like, okay, es tiempo para jalar tu pellejo. You got to lay down on your stomach, like on the floor, on the bed or something like that. Take your shirt off My mom would like yank on your skin right along your spine, starting at the base of the neck and going all the way down to your small of your back. And she still swears by it. She's like, yeah, hey, it always got things moving for you guys. It's all good.
That's a Mexican thing.
That's Pacoima acupuncture right there, man.
That's Peguero. That is OG Pegueros.
OG Pegueros acupuncture right there, man. I remember whenever I had that's OG Mexico acupuncture. I remember waking up one night, like 3 a.m. with a stomach ache, walking to my mom and dad's room, and I'm like, Mom, I got a stomach ache, like just real bad, like cramping. And she had me sit on the bed, lifted my shirt up, spit right in their, you know, index and middle finger, just rubbed it in my belly button. Just like, is this like what?
These are horrible stories.
I was like 7 years old. Like, what, is this supposed to work? Like, yes, this is. Trust me. Go back to sleep. And I don't remember if it worked or not. I just thought it was like, man, these like they're going out on the limb with these, man. Like, it's almost like, you know, you're in Mexico and you show up like to the, you know, the pharmacist or the medicine man, and they have like no other idea like how to fix it. Like, oh man, I wonder
how eager our parents were to get to use it on their kids. They're like, hell yeah, I can't wait to spit on this fool. Tell me where it hurts.
Payback for when they got it.
I also know that works that Hispanics do a lot or Latinos is when you have like an upset stomach or something like that, you burn a tortilla and you eat the burnt tortilla, and it settles your stomach.
I never understood that. Yeah, that is crazy. That, and it's got
to
be
it
like
actually works because of I believe it has something to do with the carbon or something. When it becomes charcoal, it goes into the stomach and it covers everything and creates a smooth surface.
It's kind of like Tums. You just peaked a memory. So check this out. This one is the god of all Mexican remedies. I had a crazy earache. I was like 9, 10 years old. Bad earache. So of course, my mom and dad being the doctors that they are, my dad got a newspaper and rolled it into a cone, stuck it in my ear, and lit it on fire.
It worked.
No joke. Lit like the tip of the cone on fire, had me tilt my head sideways, stuck the cone in my ear, lit the newspaper on fire. Believe me when I tell you, something like the fire sucking the oxygen pulled it was like a pop, like it pulled like air, like there was like air caught in my ear or something. It just like I just felt like a pop, and like it was like a blast of fire, like it just kind of popped for a second, or the fire just kind of grew for a second, and then like it was gone, and then like the pressure was gone and the pain was gone. Craziest thing that worked. That was nuts.
See, that's something that I would try on my kid first before I try on myself. So
that worked.
That's what your dad did.
That worked.
Yeah, a lot of cultures do that. I've never had it done, but maybe now I think I'm gonna do it because
try it.
I love my Q-tips, but I definitely need to get rid of them.
Oh my god! Well, I got one last one that I never understood. You know, mom would always be like, don't get your feet wet. Don't get your feet wet. By all means, do not go outside when it's cold or raining if you've got no shoes on. But definitely don't get your feet wet because it's going to make your tonsils get sick. Oh, so it's
funny because your family has a pool in their backyard, or your mom has a pool in their backyard.
Well, don't get your feet wet when it's cold. And it's cold. So yeah, I never understood that. It's like, how are your tonsils connected to your feet?
That's like, you know, don't go outside with your hair wet, you'll get sick.
It's
yes.
The acupuncture, man. That's that old school acupuncture.
Do you guys know the old school Latino, the prayer, sana, sana?
Colita de rana.
Uh-huh.
All right, do you know the rest of it? Or is that it?
No se sana, se te sana mañana.
All right.
Something like perfect. That, yeah, right?
And that was the blessing after every boo-boo, right?
Of course.
Right. Yep. My girls all know it. My girls all know it because
really?
I gave it to them. Oh, yes. I've said it to them many times. And when they were little, they would be like, they would always say that made them feel better. So
I heard a rumor on the NFL sidelines when they go behind that like blue tarp, you know, on the sidelines. I heard that like that's the first thing that they say. Like they tell all the guys that like first thing. That's just a rumor.
Where's he going? Sana, sana.
Yep. Somebody's abuelita or somebody's mom is out there. You know, 90-year-old a 90-year-old Mexican abuelita is out
just
there.
Just a rumor.
Oh man, well that was good. That was good. Well, yeah. Oh, man, whew, take it. Got it. Too much laughter there, but time for some cheese man. So we're talking about the dreaded RBBC. Rams coach Sean McVay suggested that the team is going to do its backfield a la the 49ers and ride the hot hand with that running back by committee approach. Is that as deflating as anything when it comes to
draft day? Not on this, because you can tell the way McVay said it that he hates it already. So he's probably just going to do it because obviously their rookie ain't going to be ready to go right away, especially with, you know, preseason not being there. So he's going to give it 5-6 weeks maybe to do the committee, and then boom, all of a sudden you're going to have a one lead back. Because you could tell when he says that running back by committee approach that he doesn't want to do that.
It's not his. He's not owning it. He's not
proud of it. Yeah, it's like he's somebody not owning
else's,
it.
Somebody else's. It's not so, our approach. It's that approach.
So I think he's just feeling like, all right, this is what we're going to do because I got to pay respect to Henderson and Brown. But in the end, I think he knows he wants to go to Akers. I think everyone knows he wants to go to Akers. And I think it's only best to do the running back by committee for Akers, because it'll kind of be a preseason for him. And then he can take the last 8 games and really tear it up. But that means if you have Cam Akers, you better make sure he's your bench spot for the first 6-7 weeks.
I always wonder why coaches do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, would you ever hear Bill Belichick coming out and saying like, hey guys, this is what we're going to do this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are certain coaches that are just like keep everything close to the vest and say like, you know what, we're not going to tell you what.
I think it's obvious. So, I think it's obvious.
I just think it's interesting, and I don't know. Do you have any idea, George, why a coach would come out and actually kind of say what they're going to do, what their approach is going to be? Like, what benefit does that have to Sean McVay?
It's easier than announcing a starter in Sean McVay's.
Yeah,
it is. It kind of opens up the competition. You know how Pete Carroll loves to have, you know, always preaches competition. It kind of opens up the possibility of him crowning Akers during the season. It could be this, you know, Ricky said 6 weeks. I think it's going to be somewhere around 3 to 4 weeks where they're going to mix and match some guys and then realize that Akers is their best running back. Mm-hmm. I think it tries to put too much pressure on the running back. And it's kind of interesting how this kind of came out right around the same time that they announced that there's not going to be any games. Right. Any preseason games. So that kind of has me leaning toward the fact that, hey, you know what? I can kind of just spring this on the league later on. So there's a little bit of coach speak in there. But I also look at the fact that he's trying also to communicate to the other three guys, because they also threw in John Kelly, who I didn't even know he was still on the roster. But I think it's kind of telling them, hey, you know what, you've got a role in this, to kind of dangle a carrot in front of their faces. And then, I think at some point he's going to be like, hey, you know what, I gave you guys all the shot. Akers is running away with the gig. That's the way it's
exactly.
Gonna be.
And then that's what I think. I think he knows he wants to go to Akers. The fact that Kelly's name's even coming into the picture tells you he really has no confidence in Henderson or Brown.
I think so.
But to pay due respect, let them do a running back by committee. And if Akers from the get-go is getting mad yardage over the others, just give them the ball then. But he's going to at least make it so that you can see the steps so that he doesn't get called out for, you know, not giving other people a chance.
And at that point, he could say, hey, I did my due diligence.
Exactly.
You know, I said I was going to do RBBC. I did it. But you know what? Because this guy is doing so well and is just blowing it up, it would do our team a disservice to not use him more. So, yeah, I can see that.
So, fantasy-wise, I think this just makes – I mean, obviously, you don't want anyone but Akers on that running back team. If you can get Henderson, like, as your fifth running back, sure, why not? It's like a lottery pick.
Exactly. That's a dart.
Akers isn't going to get you – unless Akers can separate himself right away – but I think Akers needs at least 3-4 weeks. If he does it sooner, great. But Unless you have really good RB1 and 2, I wouldn't get Akers on my team till then.
Yeah, I think at the very least he's your flex guy. I don't know if and you know what, I've been noticing that his that's where his ADP is kind of coming around, where I've been getting him it's somewhere thereabouts after Jonathan Taylor, after DeAndre Swift, but right before J.K. Dobbins. So it's kind of like right in that sweet spot, kind of like between DeAndre Swift and J.K. Dobbins, which is kind of like how he was picked. So, you know, I think it's actually going to hurt his draft capital, but it could end up paying off for people. I really do think it'll pay off for people, because I do think Akers is the guy who's going to run away with this team.
Eventually, yes.
Yeah. So the other thing that's coming out, you know, obviously, you know, the NFL canceled out preseason, but now the announcement came out today from NFL Communications Chief Brian McCarthy that when fans are allowed into stadiums, which a lot of places they are not right now, most, if not all places, they're going to have to wear masks. And all of a sudden, Twitter had to go and get their Twitter muscles and be like, you know, all of a sudden it becomes about players kneeling and it becomes about rights. It's like, come on, guys. come on. Ay, mijo, come on.
At some point, you just have to get it. You just have to get it. I mean, you know, it's been out for, you know, how many months are we into this now? Whether we've been talking about wearing masks for 6 months, you know, President Trump just came out and said, hey, guys, even Trump came out and said, you should probably wear masks, or, you know, you should be, if you're out and about, you should wear masks. So it should be a dead issue now. Yeah. If it took this guy 6 months to say it and he finally said it, you know, that's at least, you know, the final straw where, you know, that it's, you know, everyone should be doing it. It's common sense, common knowledge that this virus, you know, it's not going to spread as much if you're wearing a mask. Obviously the NFL is trying to protect everyone, you know, concession stands, and the ushers are going to be at games as well. So they have to be protected as well. So, yeah, everyone wear masks. Like you said, Rick, we're so beyond it already. We should be so far beyond this. It should be just, like you said, a dead issue. Wear the mask.
Yeah, it's our new underwear. Like, it's the new thing to do. And it's not even just a new and American thing. The whole, you know, the whole damn world's doing it. Mm-hmm. So we need to do it. It's shown to help out. You want sports, right? Don't be ignorant. Don't be stubborn. We want to see this.
This is the only way to come back. Yep.
I mean, Raiders owner Mark Davis even said that if he had to deny fans admission, he'll have no fans at all. So, and now Atlanta's now reducing their 70,000 plus seating to only 10 to 20,000 seating. So it's like, look, everyone's making changes. You need to be open to it. Otherwise, we are so close. We have no more games to give up. There's no preseason. Right. So you do what they say. If you think it's illegal, whatever, don't go to a game.
Yeah. But just do it. Stay at home. Please.
Exactly.
And good for them. Good for the NFL to say it, because the players are starting to get a little antsy. So this helps them feel a little bit more secure.
Yeah, hopefully. I got, you know, Peter King in his Football Morning in America column gave a little bit of a preview. I recommend anybody who hasn't seen it to check it out. Gives a preview. He went into the Minnesota Vikings training camp, and, you know, it's space age. Players are getting their temperature taken right away. They're getting their COVID test before they walk into the facility. Everybody's wearing. In fact, they can't have their temperature taken. The little camera won't take their temperature if they're not already wearing a mask. So it will not take the temperature if they're not already wearing that. Wow. And then they're given this little, I don't know if it's a bracelet or something that measures when somebody is within 6 feet of you. So that if that person tests positive, they can know who they came in contact with within 6 feet. The previous day or in the previous couple of days, that they could be. So it's trippy. It is going to be the protocols are incredible. You know what, if the players can do that just to play the game to entertain us, we can wear a mask.
Exactly. Yeah.
give and take, and
I think both sides need to understand that, because the players are all like, you know, why do we have to do this? The and the fans are like, why do we have to do this? Maybe if they both see that both sides are making sacrifices and the owners are making sacrifices too by reducing the number of people there and also not hiking the prices of everything, that's very nice of them. So at least everyone's sacrificing somewhat, then I think it'll be more peaceful and everyone will be more willing to go with it. But the second you see one side not wanting to sacrifice, meanwhile the other sides are, that's when you're going to start seeing, you know, friction.
Oh, man. Well, let's get into our final schedule breakdown. Vamos al este.
Al este.
AFC and NFC East, el último. And, you know, it's been incredible, some of the insight that we've all gotten just looking at, you know, where the team are during those first 5 weeks and those last 3 weeks. And there, I think we're going to learn that much more. You know, we're going to start with the team that is the a lot of people are saying is the favorite in the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills. And you know, right out the gate, they've got kind of a pretty interesting schedule. The first 4 weeks, home against the Jets, at Miami, home against the Rams, at the Vegas Raiders. And I mean, none of those is a scary defense that runs. I mean, I know those want to run the ball, and the Jets were the number two defense against the run last year, so that's a tough one. But Miami is going to be better, but they're not going to go from 32-2. They're probably going to go into the 20s, and they're still going to be a team that gives up some points. The Rams traveling back east. That one's going to be a tough road to hoe for them. And you know, I know Hector, you're really big on Josh Allen, so that's going to be a tough one. And the Vegas Raiders, you know, they spent so many draft picks on receivers and offensive players, not a lot on the defense, and they needed help on the defense, especially against the pass. So I mean, I think Josh Allen could be getting off to a hot start this year, and then
he's definitely going to get on.
It makes me
start.
Kind of, you know, perk up my ears for Stephon Diggs and John Brown.
They're getting off to a hot start, but I feel like they're going to fall flat quick, because if the Rams can be good again, here's how I see it. All right, they go to New York, they pound them. They go to Miami, they crush them. They look awesome. Then they go to the Rams and they get a little bit of a reality check, especially because
game is in Buffalo.
Well, that's either way. They're going to see that, and they're already going to be looking at going to Vegas the next week. Who doesn't think about going to Vegas the weekend before? And then they're going to have to play Tennessee and then Kansas City. So I definitely think they'll start off hot. They'll get a quick punch in the chin. But they're a strong team. They still got to go against the Cardinals, against the 49ers. So their schedule is tough. So I do like how it starts. It's going to make them look good right away. It's going to really show you what they can do when they're dominant, hopefully, right? Mm-hmm. This way you can see the ceiling of Stephon Diggs and Devin Singletary as the lone back. But, other than that, I mean, I think the schedule's solid because you get to see them when they're challenged. And then when you had them during the playoff season against Pittsburgh week 14, Denver week 15, and New England 16, all three of those defenses are hit or miss. They're either going to be really great or at least hold off a little bit, because all are top 10 in points from last season. So I feel like at least with Buffalo, they're going to be challenged enough to where when they come to the playoffs, you're not going to be like, oh, I'm going to sit this player or that player. Because you're already going to know that they're solid. They're going to hit so many harder defenses during the regular season the second they hit New England. And everyone knows how dominant New England was last season. But at least they're going to see New England. This is going to be the second time they see them. And Denver, even though they're at Denver, they're going to be able to see a lot of Denver and play defenses that are tougher. So I feel like, I don't know, I see why people are putting this team so high on their list. It's just that not only do they have a hard schedule, but the harder parts in the beginning or the middle of it, so you can really tell, even before trade deadline, if these guys are real or not. So I could see why people are so high on Buffalo Bills.
No, yeah, I totally agree. Completely agree. I, like you said, George, I'm high on Josh Allen. I just remember watching him play last year, you know, and as young as he is, and just watching the way that he just took command of that team. And the guy just, I mean, he's like, you know, there's Matty Ice, and then this guy's like the next. He's like Matty Ice 2.0. The guy's got ice in his veins for being so young, so mature as he is. I don't have any problem. Like, you know, in the playoffs, in the playoff schedule, we're looking at, you know, the Patriots number two against the pass last year in for championship week. I wouldn't have any problem at all starting Josh Allen for the entire season, you know, because like I said, the guy showed me a lot of good things last year. And now that you're adding Stephon Diggs, I can't wait to see what he can do with that Buffalo Bills offense this year. I think he's going to do a lot of great things. He's going to end the season, I think. Probably top five, for sure top 10, maybe top five QB.
I know for me, that playoff schedule scares me. So especially with the Denver and the New England road games, even if there's no fans, I mean, it's those are going to be, well, I mean, we'll see how tough they are places to play. But I may look to trade my Buffalo Bills at halfway through the season just to.
See, and I don't think that's the case. I think if the players are going to be crappy, you're going to find out by week four. If they can't do anything by the time they go to Tennessee, that's when you start selling them. But if they show you they can dominate against three of those first four teams, then you're like, all right, I know during the playoffs they're going to be sturdy enough. Because I'm telling you, they play some rough teams during the season. And Pittsburgh, Denver, New England aren't going to be the hardest teams they fight. So I feel like, I don't know, they give you a perfect trending line of how they're going to be throughout the season. It's like, I don't know. I trust the Bills, at least. I feel like they're going to let me know if they suck or if they're good early on to where I don't get screwed over when the trade deadline passes.
Yep. All right, well, let's go from the cold in Buffalo to the warmth of Miami.
Miami-Dade County.
Yeah, and maybe I'll even see a game. My parents are moving to Florida, so maybe I'll trade someone not this year, but maybe I'll trade my L.A. games for a Miami game. But this is interesting because Miami sucks. Everyone knows that. But interdivisional, they somehow beat the New England Patriots when they're 16-0. You know what I mean?
They had a better record in the last five games. They were 3-2, and the Patriots were 2-3.
And that's why it's just their first two games are against New England and Buffalo. Maybe they might be able to beat New England. New England sucks their first game of the year. Case in point was when they played against the Chiefs and everyone learned who this Kareem Hunt guy was because he ran over 200 yards on them. So maybe Miami does that now that they have Jordan Howard. I don't like Jordan Howard, but who knows what happens. Like I said, interdivisional. But when you look at the rest of it, New England, if they're the same defense as they were last year, then Buffalo, Miami's not even going to score a point the first 2 weeks of the season. And then you just think already, all right, Tua's coming out to play Jacksonville, Seattle, San Francisco. Stay away from this team, obviously. Don't even hope Tua's going to do good. That's a tough beginning of the season. And then to end it with New England again, Kansas City, Las Vegas, like, nah, just stay away from Miami. I was thinking about it. I was like, you know what? They made some changes. Maybe Jordan Howard's going to be a great pick. No, do not get him. Do not get Tua. Maybe your third
running back. That's a rough opening. That's a rough opening for a running back.
Don't get anybody. Yes, exactly. And to think that he's going to stick with the running back position after that, because Miami's going to be so fluid this year, they're going to be quick to drop people from their starting positions just because they can. They're going to be in a rebuilding stage. They're like at the beginning of the rebuilding stage.
Right, so, year one. Because
Tua's not even going to play all 16 games. So we'll see what happens. I suggest staying away. There's no reason to have any player on the team. I heard people being like, oh, Parker, or when Landry used to be on the team, oh, Landry. It's like, no, stay away. They suck so bad that it's just a vortex, a black hole.
Yeah. So, Fitz Magic.
They are at best your daily fantasy team, maybe.
DFS.
Yeah. Every now and then.
Plug and play Fitz Magic.
Not even Tua. You play Tua when they play a crappy team, which, hey, it's hard to find a crappier team than Miami.
I know. And I think the magic is gone. You know, we talk about Fitz magic. I mean, there's only so much longer that this guy can keep making magic. And I think this is the year that he finally kind of fizzles out. I'm looking at their lineup. I'm looking at their schedule, and I'm just not really
hard.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not feeling it, not at all for Miami. So like you said, stay away. You know, bring out the garlic. If they're, you know, if they're a vampire, you bring out the garlic, you know, light the incense and stuff, you know, yeah. Just stay away from Miami.
Let your dumb friend during the draft who drank too much celebrate the fact that you drafted Jordan Howard. Be like, oh yeah, Jordan Howard, he's a starting running back. Meanwhile, you got Cam Akers for cheap. Like, let him be happy about his Jordan Howard pick.
Yeah. I mean, I still like Mike Gesicki a lot, but I don't know who else I like. I'm looking at their whole schedule.
I don't even like him.
Oh, I like him. I like him. Cool. I mean, he's a sleeper.
Like he's like the trendy pick, but it's just like, who's throwing him the ball? Like, and if he's the best player on the team, Georgie, the second they double team him, he's at a zero.
Yeah, well, it's I mean, their best receiver is going to be Devontae Parker, but no, I hear you. It's I'm looking at, there will be a changing of the guard, and I think it's after week 11. Week 11 is going to be their bye, and then they come out. They're at the New York Jets. Then they're home against Cincinnati, and then home against the Chiefs. So
that's really funny that they play the Jets in back-to-back games.
Yeah, so it's no, it's not the Jets in back-to-back.
It's almost like they play them the 15th of November. Then they have their bye. Then they play the Jets the 29th of November. So they play them back-to-back.
That's right.
So it's almost like the NFL is like, shit, we gotta put the Dolphins up. We got to put their schedule up. We forgot they were actually a team.
I didn't see that. Yeah.
Not just like a college team that we let play.
That was an oops, I'm sure.
Oh, man. But, and you know, and it could be Tua by the time you're at weeks 14, 15, and 16. So it's KC, New England, and Vegas.
They play the Niners, the Broncos, the Chargers, the Rams, the Patriots, the Chiefs, like Seahawks. The Bills.
No, they got a tough schedule.
Oh yeah, that's why it's like I don't even want to dream about them having any sleepers. I'm avoiding anyone who has the Miami logo on their jersey.
You guys heard it here first. All right, familia, you heard it here first.
Avoid the swimming mammals completely.
Yes.
Well, Hector, are you avoiding any Jets because of their schedule?
Yes, I'm avoiding. Not only because of schedule, but we'll get into that. But I'll start out with the fact that the Jets are in disarray. I mean, I think I mentioned it maybe.
Disarray.
Disarray. Yes, they are in disarray. There's infighting going on. Head coach Adam Gase and others. There's some trust issues going on amongst the team. There's been some Twitter tweets going out there and some rumblings in the Jets locker room that things are not going to go very smoothly this year. You know, a little bit of mutiny on the bounty kind of stuff, or they're just not.
Their best player on the team doesn't even want to be on there.
Yeah. A lot of the guys in the team they don't have confidence. It's like he's lost the vote of confidence among many of the players. So just that, starting off with that, is already bad. Now you're looking at the schedule again, starting off week one at Buffalo. What? I don't see the Jets having any kind of success. I mean, through for the first 5 weeks, you know, Super Bowl, runner up San Francisco Niners week two, the Colts week three, Denver week four, Cardinals week five. I see the Jets very possibly starting out 0-5. And then playoffs, you know, weeks 14, 15, 16 at the Seahawks. I mean, yes, 12th man probably won't be there, but, you know, you're playing against Russell Wilson. So good luck with that. At the Rams, week 15, we already know about the Ram defense being solid. So good luck there as well. Cleveland Browns, whatever, for championship week. I'm not going to have any Rams on my team anyway. Any Jets on my team during championship week to worry about. Le'Veon Bell, I'm staying away. Last year, my brother Vic took him number 4 overall. That didn't work out.
And he literally looked at me and he's all like, number 1 O-line. And I was like, no. And he denies it now. But I remember because I was like, how are you going to pass up Zeke for Le'Veon?
Zeke wasn't signed yet. So that I could kind of see that.
Bell, come on.
I know.
Where does Le'Veon go this year? What's his ADP? Do you guys know?
I'll find it. It's got to be the Jets. He's like in the fourth round. He's going like in the fourth round right now.
Looking at the schedule, I don't even want to draft. I was thinking maybe Le'Veon gets back, right? But nah, after I hear Heck talking about the Bills, and then he plays the Bills again, like week seven,
right,
and he
plays
the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Cardinals, the Broncos, like some of these teams are high powered offenses. They're going to have to pass. And I'm pretty sure half the team's going to get mono again. So I don't think they're going to be that great. I love the thought of Le'Veon Bell being a number one again, because nostalgia is amazing.
Right.
But I'm sorry, guys. Skip on him. Let Victor get him again.
Yeah, yeah. Darnold hasn't impressed either, right, George? I mean, Darnold hasn't done much, right?
And I really liked him going in last year, but I mean, it's the thing is, I think he's going to improve, but he's got no weapons.
Mm-hmm.
He's really got no weapons.
Robbie Anderson.
Yeah.
He had Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson led. That's true. He had Robbie Anderson and didn't do anything, right?
Well, Robbie Anderson was awesome sometimes.
I had Robbie Anderson
Crowder
for some reason.
Crowder is going to be a PPR monster like Emmanuel Sanders back with the Broncos. So if you're PPR, Crowder is going to be a sneaky pick in like the ninth round. But other than that, nothing. Like it's going to be a running game, and the second they shut the running game down because they're against defenses like the Bills, the Niners, and the Broncos, like you're going to have to pass, and they just can't. So,
and like I said, all those things are already against the Jets, not even to mention all, like I said, all that the disarray, the locker room stuff, all that locker room stuff is just like a hangover already with a team that already has so much going against them. Sorry, Jets.
Yeah, and the New York media is not kind. So they're not going to take it easy.
I didn't know I'd find another team that I say pass up like Miami, but like unless you get Le'Veon Bell in the sixth or seventh round as your third running back, that's a discount. Get him, but. Pfft.
Good luck.
They don't have a schedule that makes you think that maybe they'll get luck put their way.
No. Yeah, right now ADP, he's in the third round, at the end of the third round in 12-team leagues.
And it makes you say, no wonder the freaking Patriots win all the time. They have the crappiest teams in their division.
Two bad ones. So I'm gonna go in. I'm gonna take over in New England.
Talking about the Patriots.
Yeah, they've got actually a pretty decent opening. You know, they're home against Miami.
Then they go to Seattle.
They're not gonna lose to Miami.
I swear, I will bet you. If you
give beer me, bet, if beer you bet
give
me right
five
now.
To one odds. I'll take that. Let me get some odds. Of that.
I'm not
giving you
one
five to one odds. You just said they're gonna lose.
England, but I swear I.
Miami does have their number. Miami does have their number.
And it's week one, and New England sucks week one. I just feel like,
You forget what Miami did last year, week one, against the Baltimore Ravens, and they got blown out like 9,000-0.
Season heck.
Different
Miami,
season. Destroyed.
Miami got doesn't destroyed. Do well week
you
know
one either. Bet me 2 beers to 1. Bet me 2 beers to 1. I bet you
I'll
Miami.
Bet that. I'll take that bet.
2 beers to 1. Two I'll beers to it. One. They,
I'll take 2 to 1.
It's there.
Yes.
All right, good. Y'all
two
heard
beers
it first.
To one, it's
Miami
there.
Will beat in week one.
All right.
2 beers to 1. I'm
Cam
putting
Newton,
it in. I'm
Cam
putting
Newton.
It in that.
And
I can't
Cam
wait
Newton
for that Monday show or Tuesday show, whatever.
And Cam Newton scores a rushing touchdown just for to tie the knot, to put the bow on top. Newton walks in backwards for a touchdown.
Exactly. And then Seattle, not a good they got to go across the country, but Seattle is not a good defense. You know, the Vegas Raiders home against the Raiders. That's not not a good defense. KC, New England. That's going to be Cam against Mahomes going one on one. The KC is good. Both teams are good against the pass, but KC is not good against the run. So maybe Cam Newton gets to run the ball.
It'll be nice to see Mahomes versus run CMC.
Yeah. The interesting game, you were talking about Miami, the Miami, they're week 15, they are at Miami. And that is always a Bermuda Triangle game for New England when it's late in the season, because it's like they haven't seen anything. Yeah. By that point, it's December. They haven't seen anything above 50 degrees in 2 months. And so all of a sudden they get down to 80 degrees in Miami and they melt. So
they're going to be in L.A. the week before.
I don't know, like,
yeah, but that's a dome game.
But Cam Newton likes
the Rams. The Rams is gonna be.
Right.
I don't know.
You're right. It's
still gonna be
nice.
Cam's comfy in the heat, though, man. Cam, you know, Cam played at Auburn, so he's used to like warm and humid, and that's exactly what you have at Miami. So he's going to be right at home. He's going to be right at home in Miami.
I think it's a bit of a rough schedule at the end, just because of the travel, but and that Buffalo game at the end of the season. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember that Buffalo New England game in December last year was just, I mean, that was old school. Just everybody destroyed each other. Both defense were just, you know, were like angry at each other and just killing each other. So that you know, sit down all your Patriots that week. That's going to be a tough one. Even if
games to watch.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Annoying.
Not for fantasy.
Yeah, right. Annoying in fantasy.
Fun football games, not annoying for fantasy. Well, I know there's a team that's been annoying you forever, Ricky, the Cowboys.
Well, now we're going to be going to the NFC East. And I don't know if I'm the best person to speak on the Cowboys because I have a long hate for them. Not a hate. Hate's such a strong word, but they come very close to it. I have so many friends that are Cowboy fans. I think, like, and they only play the Chargers once every 4 years. And I know the last two times we've beaten them, and now we're playing them again next year. So it's like, that's like a 9-year dislike for one team. But let's go back to their season. They're going to start at the Rams. They actually have a schedule that's going to challenge them offensively, but not defensively. So what I mean by that is they're going to be shootouts. When they go against the Rams, Dak has the opportunity to just throw. Zeke's going to run. Then they're going to go against Atlanta. Atlanta, at least when they're throwing and running, Atlanta's going to at least be able to keep up the pace. And then Seattle, same thing. They're still going to be good defense, yep, but they're still going to have a lot of points. They go to Cleveland, a lot of points. New England, a lot of points. I'd hate to say it, but the Cowboys.
No, that's Giants. New York Giants.
What'd I say?
Week 5 is Giants. You said New England.
Oh, New York. Sorry, the Giants. Either way, they're going to be scoring mad points the first 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to say don't get it. I would never say don't get anyone on the Cowboys. It's just, guys, they're going to do the same mirage they always do. They're going to look hot. They're going to be undefeated for a while. They're going to be awesome. And then they're going to suck later in the year when they have to go against Cincinnati, when finally, even though Cincinnati doesn't have the best runner pass, maybe they do good that game, right? But then they got to go against San Francisco, who, if they can be what they were last year, they can shut down the Cowboys. It's going to be a fun game to watch, don't get me wrong, but you're definitely going to be on your toes, because San Fran's got a great defense and Dak just does not do good in these high-pressure games. And then they play Philly week 16, and Philly just has their number. These teams, just when they play, they're awesome games to watch. Fantasy-wise, it can go either way. So I think it's going to be another typical year. Cowboys look super hot in the beginning and then start slowly fading at the end of the year. I don't know if you guys see the same, if this is just my, you know, the glasses I always wear when I look at the Cowboys. But, I mean, yeah, they look primed to be like, oh my God, Zeke's number one running back, Dak's number one quarterback by week 5. That's what it looks like easily.
What do you think, Heck?
I mean,
Jesus.
Here's my thing. I mean, Dak just got paid, right? Did he just sign a contract?
No,
signed the franchise tag.
That's what it was, a franchise tag.
He's waiting to get a long contract.
I mean, they still got
Dalton.
Yes, that's what it was, a franchise tag. I'm looking at the schedule here, and I agree with you, Rick. The first 5 weeks, this is just like tantalizing for the Cowboys. It looks like they're just going to run roughshod. Week 4 against the Browns, I see Zeke. That's going to be one of his, you know, 200 yards, you know, 2 or 3 TDs against the Browns there. Like you said, George, Seattle Seahawks week 3. Their defense has come a long way down from what they used to be a few years back with Sherman and company. So yeah, I think they'll light it up first 5 weeks. That's what it looks like based on the schedule. And then towards the end, when you're looking at playoffs, it just looks like they're going to have a rough go at it. So I agree. I think what Rick said, he hit the nail right on the head.
I think that's San Francisco game.
The revelations of you telling me how great my advice is.
I think, you know, the one thing, the only game on the of the games that we're highlighting here, the only game that scares me is the San Francisco game. because San Francisco is going to be.
And that's an important time of the year.
That's going to be a tough time. That's going to be semifinal week of the playoffs, week 15. San Francisco, if their defense is anywhere close to what it was last year, I don't know. I don't think it will be as close to where it was last year because I think their DBs are getting a little old and they might have a tough time. They might have a tough time in Dallas, but they still got a vicious pass rush. So I think if Dallas can protect Dak that week, it could be good. But that Cincinnati game, Philly is not good against the pass. They traded for Darius Slay from Detroit. So let's see if he can make their second Philadelphia's secondary better. But I just Philly's defensive backs have just been basura the last several years.
This is what I think you have to do, though. I think this team's going to be golden by week 6-7. So I think you take those number one wide receiver, number one running back, number one quarterback. You see if you can get Lamar Jackson or anyone. You see what the best price you can get for Dak is, and you get rid of him. But you have to get someone good with the good rest of the season. If you can trade Zeke and get like Derrick Henry, trade up for him. Only because the rest is, if you're 7-1 by week 8 or 6-2 even, you need to start investing in the postseason, and you just have to see that week 15 and be like, dang, I don't know if I trust the Cowboys week 15, so maybe I need to sell early and get someone who's got one of those teams that are highlighted in green in Yahoo because they're an easy team to play. So.
Yeah, you find the Cowboy fan, right? You find the Cowboy fan in your league. You're just saying, hey, man, don't you want Zeke on your squad?
You want Cowboys Zeke are always the number one running back, don't you? And they're like, yeah, man.
You sound like Cheech and Chong.
In that voice.
Sound like Cheech and Chong.
That's how they sound. They're high on that team, man.
Yes, yes. Cowboy fans will bend over backwards, especially if they're 4-1 or 5-0 after the first five games, and you want to sell Zeke or Dak high right there, man. The Cowboy fans will just throw their roster at you just to get a piece of that. So yeah, that's good advice.
Especially when
you sell the receivers at that point. Yeah. I don't know if you ever sell Zeke, and I don't know if you could get Dak could get you something, but
Zeke's great. But if Zeke's number one by week 8, I'll trade him because I just feel like obviously you can get a number 3 and a number 5. And if you're not good in depth, get rid of the guy because he's not going to get better. Yeah. He's just going to fizzle out, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So you might as well.
You're not going to be good in depth because you're going to. You always draft hurt players on your reserve roster.
That's right. That's exactly. Rick's roster is full of
hurt players are depth. Technically.
and the suspended guy. You're going to have the suspended guy and the hurt guy on your bench. That is guaranteed to happen every year.
Money.
All right.
Every year.
Let's Hector, take us back to New York.
Let's talk about the New York Football Giants.
And that's a scary schedule.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here, and even though we got Mr. Danny Dimes and a healthy Saquon Barkley, they're starting out the season with some very difficult matchups here. Number one, first week against the rejuvenated Pittsburgh Steelers with Big Ben is back, and you know their solid run game. So you know Saquon might have a little bit of trouble there. Also, a pretty decent pass defense. So. I think Mr. Danny Dimes may have a little bit of trouble there. Giants overall will have a tough go at it week one. Week two at Chicago, a good defense. Chicago Bears, number 9 last year against the pass, number 9 against the run. So tough going, tough sledding the first 2 weeks. And then, of course, week three, just to add insult to injury, they're starting off with the Niners. Number 1 against the pass last year. Like you said, George, we'll probably see a little bit of you know, going back a little bit on as good as they were last year, but still going to be solid. You know, they're not going to drop, you know, 10 spots or, you know, 6 spots, whatever it is. They're going to be a solid pass defense still. Run defense, Saquon might be able to get a little bit of run there against the Niners. And then after that, another solid defense with the Rams. So they're definitely starting out challenging. Saquon... He's bulletproof. You're going to pick him. You know, he's going to be what's his ADP, George? Like he's number 2, number 3,
number 2, right? 2 overall.
Yeah. So you're going with Saquon. I just wonder what the guy could have done last year if he was healthy all season. The guy's just a monster. The year before that, he just crushed, just ate up the NFL for breakfast. Looking at the playoff schedule, they're playing the Cardinals week 14. I think Danny Dimes will have a pretty easy time of it against the Cardinals defense, who was pretty
sorry.
You don't
think it'll be a shootout, which will make it less for Saquon? You're not scared of Saquon in the playoffs, is what I'm trying to get at.
No, because he catches the ball too. So
it's true. This is true.
Yeah, but he's going against number 7 pass, number 6 pass, number 5. Like, I feel like when it, I don't know. I do worry about the playoffs a little bit.
Yeah. Baltimore, number 5 against the run.
The Baltimore game is frightening.
Yes, the championship week. That's going to be tough. So. Either way, whether you got Danny Dimes or you got Saquon, that's definitely going to be a tough one. But the week before that, you know, that may, you know, if you have some depth, you know, week 15, you're looking at number 30 against the run. So Saquon is going to eat against the Cleveland Browns all game long.
Yeah, well, you know, week 16, you know, it's vale con quien trajiste, and dance with who brung you. If you got Saquon, and which I plan to pick Saquon number 2 overall in our family
league. There you go.
Hopefully I'm playing that week and I got a good roster around him and he somehow gets it out.
Guys, as someone who's gotten to actually play in week 16, 50% of the time in our league, you don't usually score the most points. You just want to score the second least amount of points. And that's where I see, like, all right, Saquon's playing Baltimore. You know what? Everyone was going to suck that week anyways. So at least you had the best of the guys who are going to suck. So, I just thought, you know, as a champion, I'd let you guys know about week 16. Since, you know, you guys have seen it 2 times.
I was there. Hey, I was there in 2014. So I got my name on there. I got my name etched.
I'll balance it out by getting some Ravens, because the Giants defense is going to be basura.
That's not a bad idea. Yes, that's not a bad idea. That's a great idea in that case.
Well, we're running short on time. Philly, take us to Philly, Rick.
All right, I'll take you to Philly. Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you about the schedule, then I'll tell you the breaker. So they start against Washington. Great. So it'll be a feel-good team. The team's going to have a great new name. It's at Washington. So Philly's going to have a rough time, especially without their number one wide receiver. Then they go against the Rams at home and Cincinnati at home. So they have a chance to at least start 3-0 or at least 2-1. But then they go against San Fran and Pittsburgh, which are a little bit tougher teams. Now, here's the problem.
A little bit tougher?
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. Every home game is going to feel like an away game almost, because they're not going to have any fans. It's already been told that they're not going to have any fans till February 2021. So when you look at this, you're like, all right, great. They have great home games. Rams and Cincinnati, but what does that really mean to them? So they're going to start off hot. Don't get fooled, because then they play San Francisco and Pittsburgh. And then when you look at their playoff schedule, they go against New Orleans week 14. I don't know if they can be as hot as they can, because New Orleans, no matter what the defense is, they're going to score a lot of points. New Orleans is, which means Philadelphia has to rely on their passing game. And I don't like DeSean Jackson. I don't like Alshon Jeffrey more than 2 games a season. So they're done. Then they go against Arizona. I feel like Arizona by that time is going to be on all gears. Everything's running, so they're going to be high-flying. I don't think Philly's going to be able to catch up. But week 16, I think they have a chance against Dallas to make it a 20-21 scoring game to win and win the division, I hope, because I hate Dallas. I think
game's going to come down to the division.
This team, no one should be on your – don't draft this team. Not even Zach Ertz, because...
What about Miles Sanders?
No, get away. Guys, go.
First three games.
Cool. You know what, Georgie? When you're 3-0 in the beginning of the season, I'm going to clap for you. But when you make the playoffs, I'm going to clap even louder.
I rarely start anything more than 3-1 in the first month.
But Georgie, you usually do very well.
Yes.
Just you don't finish well.
I'm looking at Zach Ertz. If you're saying nobody, at least Zach Ertz, Rick. Come on.
At least Zach, if you can get Zach Ertz late because he's the fourth or fifth, Yeah, that's great, but I don't think Zach Ertz, especially in our league, because we don't need a tight end.
That's true.
Zach Ertz is like a second, a WR2 is what Zach Ertz is in our league. Right. And if it's tight end heavy in your league, like if you guys have tight ends, God, I mean, I think Mark Andrews is ahead of him. I would take Ertz like fifth or sixth, but it'd be hard to make Ertz that number one tier again like he was the past couple of years. I think he's definitely middle of tier two. I just don't trust the team this year.
Yeah, he's behind Andrews. He's
nothing's going their way this season.
That's true.
Jeffrey's already hurt.
Zach Ertz may be the starting wide receiver the way that it's going. There's going to be nobody else on the roster.
And, like, all they got to do is cover him.
Exactly. Double teaming the tight end. Wow, imagine.
Oh, man. Ricky, you're fired up today, baby. I'm giving you a social distance hug right now.
Yeah, I really don't like East.
Yeah, you know how many times the Chargers have lost to the Patriots? You guys got me lit today.
Oh, that's bad. That's bad. Well, let's go to we're gonna close it out in Washington. I mean that team's gonna be rebuilding, and they're gonna have
their names, right?
Yeah, the Washington team. We don't know what they're gonna be called. I will tell you though, they're gonna have a tough beginning. That Philly game, yeah, I think Philly's a much better team than them. I think Dwayne Haskins is going to be better than a lot of people expect him to be, and Terry McLaurin is a stud. I don't think they're going to have much of a running game, and I think they're going to be figuring out their defense at that point. So I think Philly is going to. I think Philly is a good team. That at Arizona and at Cleveland are going to be some tough games for them, because I think Arizona is going to be flying high, and Cleveland. That's the kind of game Cleveland should win if Cleveland's going to be taking a step in the right direction. They're going to. Right. And the Baltimore and Ram game, I mean, there's distinct possibility for these guys to start 1-4 or 1-5, the way these teams are shaping up for them. I mean, the Ram game, the Rams got to fly across the country. You know, they always say, you know, it's hard West Coast teams playing the East Coast. It's hard on the bye. I still think, you know, but here's the interesting thing. It's a homecoming for McVay. He was the OC before he got hired by the Rams. So, you know, he's going to be fired up and want to win that game.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then
the one thing I have to say about those first five games, though, before you get to the playoff schedule, Georgie, I feel like four of those five teams, we're dreaming them up or hyping them up bigger than they really have played, compared to like Baltimore. They're hyped up, but they've also played really great. Cleveland, the Rams, Arizona, and Philadelphia, we're still waiting for those four teams to really show us excellence in any category. Arizona is the most primed to be excellent, but we still haven't really seen it, especially because most of their team is new. So I think maybe Washington has a chance to take advantage of that, because I feel like Dwayne Haskins and Scary Terry are overlooked. And I think with all the hype of the new name, I think 2-3 would be bad for them, but I think if they can go 3-2, I think they can do 3-2 easily, to be honest with you. They just lose to Arizona and Baltimore.
Terry McLaurin's not overlooked. What's his ADP, George? Terry McLaurin. Rick's saying that he's overlooked.
I mean generally.
Okay.
Like as an NFL player, they're overlooking him. When I think Scary Terry is going to run over teams, go deep, but also do the short balls. So he's going to be scoring on these teams that aren't expecting it. And then you're still going to have AP and Geist joining it. So I think Washington's severely underrated. And they're going against a bunch of overrated teams the first five games. Four overrated. Come on. Philadelphia's overrated. Arizona's overrated. And Cleveland and Rams are easily overrated. So I just love the fact that Washington gets to try to prove their point early.
You think the Rams defense is overrated?
Oh yeah. I think their defense wasn't that great last season, and I think people are excited to see them not be as crappy as last season. Therefore, they're getting more hype than they deserve. Compared to Washington, did just as crappy as the Rams, but no one's expecting them to be any better. But it's like, they look good. They got a nice young team that's been with each other consecutively. Washington looks primed to start actually doing something we haven't seen.
Washington is a team in transition. I don't think Darius Geis is going to stay healthy all season. A lot of people are talking up Antonio Gibson as a guy at the end. You know, at the one thing that'll be playing in their favor is weeks 15 and 16. I say load up on Scary Terry if you've got if you're playing in those weeks
playoffs.
Those garbage time.
Yeah, hopefully he survives that San Francisco game because we know that if you've got incredible speed, you could beat that San Francisco secondary like Tyreek Hill did in the Super Bowl. So
He sure did.
I'm still loading up on Scary Terry because I think the defense, even getting Chase Young number two overall, they're going to be improving. So I still think that there's going to be a lot of opportunity for Dwayne Haskins to be throwing the ball this year.
Does Haskins get drafted in a two quarterback league?
Yes, I think only in two quarterback leagues. I think in our
not in our league.
I predict in our league he will go undrafted.
He would.
Yes, but I predict that in our league he will go undrafted.
Oh, easily.
Yeah,
I think he will be picked up at any time during our league.
Yes.
All right.
I think someone might pick him up as a bye week fill. You know what I mean? Especially if Scary Terry's going off and you know say he has a couple two TD games, which he probably will, and that'll give obviously Haskins a nice chunk of points. When that happens, I think someone will pick him up like, my bye week's coming up. I'm going to pick up Haskins to fill in, during a bye week. So I definitely see that happening.
I'm getting excited for the draft, guys. It's actually happening. They're preparing.
All right. You're the commissioner, man. You're supposed to get the Airbnb, man. So
you're the commissioner. Let's correct.
I mean, the commissioner. The commissioner. You're the host. Draft host. Yes, draft host.
So in our league, the host gets to pick the place. And it's been a little bit challenging this year, everybody, due to Corona. So I have to really think, if I want to have it near a brewery, is the brewery even going to be open? Not going to be open, what's the point of having the draft there? So we'll see. But I do want to make it special. I want to do things that haven't been done before so we can brag about it on our podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. I still want to keep it a secret.
We can talk about how bad your draft was. That's going to be great.
When it's that poops from the draft of every horrible pick Hector makes.
It's going to be on.
I just
it's going to be on. We're going to full recap.
You know how the NFL players have the mic'd up? I want that on Hex. So like. Yeah, y'all don't know, but in college he once scored 4 touchdowns in 1 game. So,
all right, it's time to wrap up. But todos familia, eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out in the familia community. And please subscribe, Spotify, Apple, Google, and remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB, as well as our Familia Facebook page, Familia FFB Facebook page. Gracias, everybody. Wear your masks, stay safe, stay healthy, and remember, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.